On me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. And then from John chapter 1. Starting in verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. And continuing in verse 19. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" John confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" And John said this, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. As we've been doing throughout Advent, we'll have a video, watch a little video that was filmed in a coffee shop in Redmond, and I also believe to a young mom home with her new baby, answering the question, "What do I receive when I give?"
Receive when you give.
I get peace of mind knowing that I helped other people.
What I receive when I give is a reminder of what it's all about, that we are to be giving of ourselves in response to the love we have from God.
When you give.
What I receive when I give is just a feeling that I'm helping somebody else in a small or big way, depending on what it is, and leading worship at my church, that has, seeing the growth of people through worship has really helped see how much giving matters and how much it really pays to give.
All right, so what do you give when you what do you receive when you give?
What I receive when I give is a warmthness in my heart, knowing that I'm helping people and teaching people that giving is just as rewarding as receiving.
All right, Linda, what do you receive when you give?
I receive more than I give.
Question for this morning is, how can I give more? How can I give more? Many of us are emerging from this tough financial time in our world's economy. Maybe if you have a lot of assets, your assets are down. Maybe if you didn't have any assets to begin with, you're struggling even more. So many of us are unemployed, trying to make it through the next week, the next month. My husband and I, in the last few years, have had one of these kinds of times. We were living in the San Francisco Bay Area, paying a San Francisco Bay Area mortgage on one income with me going through graduate school. And there were weeks where we weren't quite sure that we were going to have enough money to even be able to buy groceries that week. We were, you know, land rich and cash poor, as they say. But it was tight. And the question, how can I give more? There were many days, many weeks, many months that it felt like we just can't give any more. And even our government is asking that question, how can we give more? There's cuts in social services. It seems like the deficit is growing. How can we give more? There are big problems in our world. Big problems. Poverty, injustice, great inequity, lack of homes and lack of healthy food and lack of clean water. How can we give more, though, when we are strapped, when we have so little? These big problems feel like they need big answers, big fat checkbooks to write a check from. How can we give more? Well, I just returned on Wednesday from a trip to Guatemala with 20 folks from this community, and we spent about 10 days building houses, building stoves, being in Guatemala. And there are big problems in Guatemala, big problems. There's a history of colonization, as we're all familiar with in Latin America. And then about 40 years ago, just as they were beginning to gain ground with their independent government, it seems some changes and some reform was going to be made. That government was overthrown with a little help from the U.S. government. And they were thrown into a 40-year civil war of guerrillas and the government fighting. And of course, when that happens, when you've got people looking for power, the people that lose out are the ones at the bottom. The ones who don't have the resources, who aren't invested in the power struggle. There are big problems in Guatemala. Poverty that is staggering. Lack of resources, lack of access to help. There's big problems there. But it's funny, when you get to Guatemala, or when I got to Guatemala, everything became very, very small. All of a sudden, I stopped thinking as much about all of these big problems in the world, and I began to be really concerned about the little bugs that were in the water. And so when I washed my hands, I washed them, used soap, and then went and got my hand sanitizer. And I brushed my teeth with the toothbrush in one hand and the clean bottle of water in the other hand so I wouldn't forget to rinse with the clean water. There was a cat that we saw on a job site one day, a very small cat, which I assumed was a kitten, but then later thought maybe it's a full-grown cat, that was so thin that when one of us touched it, you could just feel its bones right through. And it kept begging us for scraps of food and had these big green eyes and its leg was broken. And all of a sudden, it became about this very, very small cat in the larger picture of what was happening in Guatemala. Every single scrap of material, cardboard, sheet metal, I don't know what it was, like siding from the USAID, everything became material to build homes. Things that you and I would throw away, things that we would recycle in the dump, those small things, you know, the stuff that's hanging around in your garage that's been there forever, all of that is used to make homes, to build a bathroom, to provide shelter. Things became very small, like the children that are tied to their mother's back in these straps of cloth that live in the lowest part of town where the water comes down and begins to rise. They told us 3 or 4 feet onto their walls. And these children live in this disease-stricken area. Things become small, like the tiny little fleas or mosquitoes or whatever they were that bit me. And I have like 10 bites on each leg, and our team members will tell you that I was often found doing this for that last week because they itched for a complete week. Things became that small. And so small things began to push you out of the big things and began to make you live in the present. Because you couldn't just take for granted the water. You couldn't take for granted that children were being cared for. You couldn't take anything of that for granted. There was problems right now, right in front of you, that had to be dealt with. And life was very fragile. And so that's what we did in our time in Guatemala. We did very small things. Each of us spent in groups of 3 or 4 a day building a smokeless stove for a family. And these are families that are too poor to even qualify for a house with habitat. But one thing that we can provide them is a stove that doesn't have an open fire, where the smoke is coming out of their house, so there's no issues with asthma or breathing. And we went into these very poor areas and began to build with these fragile bricks made out of mortar and pine needles that you had to carry so carefully because they'd been made. There was only so many and you couldn't break one. We began to make a stove with that. And so in the time that many of us, I as among them, spend on Facebook in and out a month, maybe 5 hours probably, in the time we spent on Facebook, and with the amount of money that we may spend in Starbucks in a year or 6 months, we changed a life. Very small things to us, we were able to do these smokeless stoves. We did small things like picking coffee. On a Wednesday morning, a group of us went out among the coffee plantations, and the coffee is really high up if you've never seen it, and we pulled the branches down and we picked them berry by berry. And begin to think of how common coffee is. You know, it's in these gallons of containers out here. And yet it's these little tiny small berries that people are in fields picking. And I think the 8 of us, is the picture up there? Yeah. The 8 of us picked enough coffee in one morning that one person could have done all of that probably in one morning. But there we are with our coffee beans. And they're just the smallest little berries. I think there's another picture. There they are that we picked. Things became very small. Things became as small as what we can spend to put a student through school. Some of you, you've been hearing about the opportunity that we have to sponsor these kids past school in 6th grade. And so on Wednesday evening, I was able to meet the scholar that my family and I are supporting. And a few months ago, Chris and the girls dragged my husband over to the library here near the library, and they decided to sponsor a girl, and this is Magdi, who we are sponsoring. And Magdi is the youngest of 3 girls, and her older two daughters are, or older two sisters are in school. Her middle sister is also a scholar. And she is 4th in her class with very few resources at home, and yet our $200 a year is helping put her through school, helping her pay for typing classes and different things that she needs. And I was reminded by the man, Dennis, who runs this program, that no matter what Magdi does with her life, whether she goes on to university, whether she has a career, even if she is at home with her kids, the best thing we can do to alleviate poverty is to educate women in the world. Because she'll know how to read, she'll know how to use birth control, she'll know how to navigate the social system. She'll send her children through their education. The gift of our $200 a year, which is a very small part of what we have, our resources, makes a huge difference in Magdi's life. Small things get so lost in our world. We go to Costco and we pile up all of these things into, it becomes about what we buy in bulk. We drive in our cars, these big cars, past small things all the time. We have machines that do most of our work. And it's so easy to forget how much comes down to the smallest thing. How can I give more? That question becomes paralyzing when you live in that world of big things, when you look at the overwhelming need. But in Guatemala, I learned that nothing is too small. Nothing is unimportant. Nothing is too small to give. And nothing big happens without something small. Our scripture this morning, the one from Isaiah, is a big scripture. It's Jesus' personal mission statement. He says that God's Spirit is upon me. God has sent me to bring good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release for the captives and liberation for prisoners. Those are really grand, big statements. But those big things happen with small actions. If you are poor, if you are brokenhearted, if you are in prison, your release, your way out comes through the smallest of actions, link by link by link that is broken. Those big things happen in the smallest ways. What if we see our actions as contributing to the liberation of the world? What if we see our smallest, the smallest thing we can do in each moment as fulfilling this promise and this mission of Isaiah that Isaiah envisions? And one other thing we learned is that when we work together, when we do those small things together, that the change begins to happen. And in John, this passage about John the Baptist, we see that he doesn't need to be front stage. He wasn't looking to be the only act in town. He says His mission is like a voice crying out in the wilderness. And if you go out in some of the wilderness areas around here and you yell as loud as you can, you'll realize that's a pretty small thing. Doesn't affect much. His role is to smooth the way for God to come, rock by rock. And when I think about those rocks, I think about the clods of dirt that we had to break up to make really good mud in Guatemala. Those little clods of dirt that had to be broken up to do the bigger job of building a stove. He knew that his part was small, and yet he was willing to play it. And as a team, when we were there in Guatemala, there was one of us who had bug spray on the job site when the others needed it. There was one of us who brought a pack of like 20 pairs of earplugs, which was really helpful because there's a rooster that crows like 24 hours a day right next to where we were staying. I was so thankful that Anne-Marie had those earplugs or else I wouldn't have slept. It was all of those things, seeing all of those things come together, working together in many ways that made the difference. Nothing big happens without small action. And that's why we call this whole Guatemalan project Small Steps, Big Leaps. And if you're interested in helping out with that, there's opportunities in the alternative Christmas market right in the library after church. How can I give more? This season you have more to give than you know. The smallest act, the smallest gift of love, the time you spend with those you love, work that you do that helps release another from their prison, in the smallest way, makes a difference. You can give more. In fact, the entire Christmas story is based around the smallest of things. A poor woman in an occupied country, in a barn, invisible to most people, who gave birth to someone who would change the world. Mother Teresa spent her entire life working with the poor. She knew she couldn't solve world hunger, but she knew she could feed the children in front of her. She knew she couldn't alleviate all poverty, but she could be with this person who was dying. And she said, "Not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love." Not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love. For me, that's an invitation to live in the present moment even more fully. To look and see and let go of some of the big issues and look and see what is in front of me in this moment that I can do, that I can give, that I can contribute. My favorite moment in Guatemala happened on the job site. The first day, my friend Robin and I were cutting these pieces of wire, and they had to be just a certain amount of width apart in order to be molded into C's, in order to tie the rebar together. And we had these wire cutters, and we were using our big muscles to, or little muscles to cut this big piece of wire. And in the middle of our job, we were approached by Naomi, who was the youngest of, I know, she's so cute, who was just 4, the youngest of 3 girls who we were building a house for. And somehow she asked if she could help. So we kind of looked around for what we could do, and we thought, well, these pieces of wire that we're cutting need to be moved about 5 steps over to where someone else is bending them into the right shape. So we gave her these gloves that were about 10 sizes too big for her, and she carried them piece by piece over to where someone was bending them. The smallest child, smallest person, doing the smallest job that had to be done. The house couldn't be built, this $4,000 house that we had come all the way to Guatemala to work in and that all of these adults were busy with. None of that could have been done without Naomi's job of carrying those wires to where they needed to be. And so when I think about small things done with great love, I think about Naomi. She gets to add a lot of cuteness when she does the small things. But I think about Naomi. And I think, yes, I can give more. And I'm encouraged to live in the present moment to see where I can give more. Let's pray.